it's nice to have you back here again. I always look forward to these Eagle receptions, and so does Nancy. And it is being among good and old friends. And you're always so well-behaved. Someone recently showed me a passage that described Andrew Jackson's inaugural reception. People poured into the White House through the windows as well as the doors. They upset waiters carrying trays of food. They broke china and glassware. Well, Nancy's been trying to... overturned tables, they smashed bric-a-brac and snatched it from the mantels, they spilled whiskey and chicken and squirted tobacco juice on the carpets. That's all a quote that I've just been reading there. Someone reporting on the scene, but well, you know those Democrats. Some of them even today like to tear up the tax program, upset our plans to strengthen the national defense and overturn the progress we've made in returning the government to the people. Well, we just won't stand for that. We need the tax program to get this economy going and to keep it going. Without it, government would simply lap up more and more of the people's income like a thirsty dog. And our critics have tried to portray the tax package as one designed for the rich. That's not true. It's designed for all the hardworking Americans who ask only to enjoy the fruits of their own labor and initiative. Self-advancement is how this country became great, and no apology is necessary for the American people's desire to become prosperous. Making sure the doors of opportunity are open for the ambitious doesn't mean closing them on the poor. Let me give you a few examples that maybe sometime in an argument when you're back home you can use as an example that we're providing in the 1983 budget for the people of this country, while some critics accuse us of throwing them out in the snow. About 3.4 million American households will receive subsidized housing assistance at the beginning of 1983. By the end of 1985, under our proposals, 400,000 more households will be added to the list. Nearly 7 million separate loans or grants are available for students in higher education through the federal assistance programs. This means that better than one out of two, every two students has the opportunity for some kind of assistance, loans, grants, or both, because many do get more than one grant. The federal government will subsidize approximately 95 million meals per day. That's 14% of all the meals served in the United States. Through Medicare and Medicaid, we'll pay for the medical care of 99% of those Americans over age 65 and a total of 20% of our population, approximately 47 million aged, disabled, and needy people. And 28% of all federal spending will go to the elderly, an average of $7,850 per senior citizen in payments and service. So you can see how cruel and heartless we are. As a matter of fact, I'm wondering if we cut enough. Americans are the most generous people on earth, and I think our budget is going to reflect that. While the federal government's been assuming an ever larger role in our daily lives, it's devoted a smaller and smaller portion of its resources, however, to the one area for which it's clearly and solely responsible, our national defense. Nothing tells the story half so well as our changing budget priorities. In 1962, a compassionate president, declared so by many of the people who are criticizing us, John F. Kennedy, and I agree, his budget called for defense spending that amounted to 45.9% of the national budget, and I think that that was about 9% of the gross national product. Even with our increases, defense spending this year will only be 29% of the overall budget, and that's about 6% or less of the gross national product. In the last 10 years, federal spending has increased more than 300%. Medicaid and Medicare have gone up by more than 500%. And food stamps in the last 15 years have increased by 16,000%. And while this was going on, our soldiers, sailors, Marines were cannibalizing equipment for spare parts. The readiness of the armed forces was declining. We had airplanes that couldn't fly because they lacked the spare parts. We had guns that didn't have ammunition, and Most of the rest of the world knew that. I was criticized the other day for mentioning something of that kind, as if somehow I was giving away secrets to the Russians. They've known it all the time. I figure the Americans have got as much right to know as they do. You're hearing a lot of calls for compromise on the defense aspect of our budget program, but we can't and will not accept any reduction that would divert us from the basic path of rebuilding our defenses. For a commander-in-chief to ignore a foreign power's military buildup would be nothing less than the negligence of duty. Having said that, it's possible that there are things that can be done without hurting the basic defense needs, and Cap Weinberger is working very hard to see if we can, so that we can arrive at a settlement on this budget problem. And if there's a way to strengthen our military while cutting back here and there, well, I'm all ears. So let me say a word of heartfelt appreciation for the support that you've given us over the past year. You know, those critics and many in the media are saying some pretty rough things about what we're trying to accomplish here. But as long as we have friends like you, friends who provide encouraging words and enthusiastic support, we'll fulfill our hopes for America. And so once again, I have to say to all of you, thank you and God bless you. We're delighted.